to Ujima 98 FM.
And welcome back to The Frequency Show. We're The Frequency Crew. We're frequently here on Wednesdays. Just have another announcement. Again, everyone, please keep your diary free for Friday, the 20th of July at the Blue Mountain. That is our fourth anniversary party. Yep, big up Ujima for big years of broadcasting in St. Paul's and for the wider community and the world. You can get those tickets from Thursday, the 21st of June, which is tomorrow, available from Genesis Music on Stapleton Road, Shop Duddy on Cheltenham Road, Afro Delight Cafe just right around the corner, I think it's Dean Lane, and the Bristol Ticket Shop, and also at our website, www.ujimaradio.com. Yep.
The world is like a ride at an amusement park, and when you choose to go on it, you think it's real, because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored, and it's very loud, and it's fun for a while. Some people have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real, or is this just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just a ride. And we kill those people. Shut him up. We have a lot invested in this ride. Shut him up. Look at my furrows of worry. Look at my big bank account and my family. This has to be real. It's just a ride. But we always kill those good guys who try and tell us that. You ever notice that? And let the demons run amok? But it doesn't matter because it's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
That was, of course, Bill Hicks with the classic It's Just a Ride. Now, we've reached this part of the show on Frequency Show. This is Future News. And guess who we've got in the studio, as well as Linda.
I wonder who could be this man in this very loud tie.
How do we introduce this man? The light just shone as he opened the door with this amazing tie.
Well, I like the eyes of love. That's great. We're right into that, definitely. I've come to talk a bit today about this whole Euro crisis, because we're not getting what's going on from Channel 4 News, Newsnight, or anybody. What is really going on here in the British media? There doesn't seem to be a clue. We're getting loads of, Linda, from our so-called leaders saying, well, we need a fix immediately. No more delays, no more delays. But they're not saying what the fix is.
Is anyone even getting it vaguely right?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I tell you what, though, the Icelandic people have done really well.
I heard about that. Yeah, they're an amazing.
There is no mention really of Iceland.
I did see a little article recently, but of course this is months old. That they've turned their whole economy around, haven't they?
They have. Yeah. And the other thing is that they've locked up the criminal bankers in Iceland.
Yes.
Most importantly, in fact, funnily enough, when I was rambling last summer down in Wiltshire, there's a giant summer house pyramid down there near Pusey, which is owned by one of the guys who set up these private Icelandic banks. And many of the people who he put in place running these banks are now in jail in Iceland. Maybe I better not mention his name, but you actually can go for a ramble near it if you're around Pusey, if you ever do that sort of thing of a weekend, take the kids out or whatever. And it is a massive old style country estate.
Did you say he's Icelandic?
No, he's British, but he was one of the people who set up the I think it's called Oare House, OARE. And so I mean, the Brits are actually, you know, we are as a nation, just as we were when we were out there taking over bits of the world and becoming like a coloniser, you know, we are responsible for some of this financial crisis. The thing is, the Icelandic people, the Icelandic media and the Icelandic government have bitten the bullet, which is something which we still haven't seen in the Eurozone.
And tell us exactly what they did.
Well, what they've done is essentially, first of all, they've understood what is wrong with their system. First of all, the problem being that the government had allowed the private banking system to grow and grow in Iceland without government control. Because ultimately, I mean, as many of these European countries are finding out now, if you go into the Eurozone, you might think it's a great idea, but you've given up sovereignty. You don't necessarily realise it, but the one most important thing a government can do is actually take control of its economy, do things like start spending into the economy, this kind of thing. And you cannot create money if you don't have your own currency. You know, in the old days, the Greeks had their, the drachma, and the Spanish had their peseta, that kind of thing. Their government can produce that money if it's needed. Nowadays, they have to go to the troika, they call it, don't they? They have to go to the European Central Bank and say, oh, please, can we have some more euros? And they just say, no, you're going to have them on these terms.
I do remember buying coffee in Italy with, like, tens of thousands of lira, though. It was a bit insane.
Yeah, but that's, yeah. I mean, that's a while ago, because they revalued quite a while back. Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, you know, with all of these countries, we've had Goldman Sachs appointing leaders, you know, haven't we, in Greece and in Italy. This is being, the banks have got really too big for their boots, the private banking sector.
Absolutely.
Way too big. Now, the troika. True. Okay, I've got a quiz for you. Who is the troika? Three.
Well, it must be three somebodies.
It's three organizations. One is the IMF. The other one,
the International Monetary Fund.
Yeah, the International Monetary Fund, which is basically a replacement for old-style colonialism. They go in and they
don't do their jobs.
Well, they privatize basically everything. They will do a deal with a corrupt ruler in a small African country or a South American country or whatever, and they'll do that deal, and then the rest of the country will have to pay back that money. So they don't go in with the troops anymore. They go in with the money and with the debts and take over that way. So the troika is the IMF, first of all. Secondly, it's the European Central Bank. And thirdly, this new thing, which was created last year, called the European Financial Security Facility.
So it's
one of the most dreadful,
well,
dreadful little acronyms you could ever imagine. The EFSF.
Right.
Now, it's been found out over the last couple of weeks, and this hasn't been on Newsnight or any of these things, that this company that is the EFSF.
Just call them them.
They are completely opaque to any scrutiny from the members of the European Parliament. In fact, the MEPs have been saying, right, who's running this company? What are their accounts?
Who's
Where's
driving
the money
this
come
bus?
From? And you know what they've said to them is, they said, oh, we're very sorry, we can't tell you, because this is a private company and it's been set up in Luxembourg.
Oh, yes. Everything's in Luxembourg, though, isn't it? And including Vodafone's main office, which is just a plaque on a wall.
It's a tax haven.
Yeah, it's a tax haven.
Yeah, a tax haven for the greedy, you know, and for the people
but
that
don't. But, I mean, is there a resolution to the euro short term, or is this going to be a long
We talked briefly about Iceland, didn't we? Because this is where any sensible statesman will now be looking. They've got over their crisis in Iceland. We can do the same.
But maybe they don't want us to get over
it. Well, I think the thing is that we've got the City of London, really, has put, in Britain anyway, obviously, has put its financial placemen in charge, right? So the Osbournes of this world, the Camerons of this world, are looking after the interests of the city and the markets, the bond markets. And the bond markets are tapping Osborne on the shoulder every day. They've got perfect loads of access to him. How often do the public and the voters get to tap Osborne on the shoulder?
Well, but we don't have as much money as the City of London. That's obviously why. But we've got to take a little bit of a break now, and we'll come back with Tony in just a moment.
Stay locked to Ujima 98 FM.
Is that all right?
Thank you.
That was Asian Dub Foundation with a fantastic track there called Nathan Flute Box Lee. Back in here with the Euro News with Tony Gosling, Future News.
We've got to wind up this sort of conversation with talking about solutions, as always. And the real solution is we've got a system that's wrong. It's not that the people necessarily are wrong. It's that our system rewards greed. Our system rewards ruthlessness and sends these people up to the top. And that's what's been going on with our government right now. And I think this is probably true to say, maybe to a bit of a lesser extent, with the Labour Party and New Labour. But that's a real serious problem. So we need to change the system. We need to somehow disconnect from Babylon, if you want. You know, get away from that Babylonian thing, which is dragging in people who are greedy. So what we need to do is to be realistic about the whole financial situation, which is that these banks have been doing Enron accounting for years. They're at the moment.
And by Enron accounting, you mean, fraudulent accounting.
Yeah, fraudulent over, accounting. What they're doing at the moment, I don't know if you know this, but over Christmas, the Competition Commission called in the big four auditors in Britain, KPMG, Deloitte, etc., and they're now being investigated because these are the same four big auditors in Britain, in the city, who gave our banks a clean bill of health in 2006, 2007, 2008. So it's quite clear to me that accounting fraud has been going on. Now, that's not finished. That's still going on. So what we do need to do, we need to have do proper accounts for these banks. A couple of weeks ago, it was said on a couple of mainstream news websites and radio and TV, £40 billion of losses has been taken out of the accounts of British banks, including HSBC, etc.
Yeah, so I was going to say, where's all that money going to?
Well,
who's got it?
The fact of the matter is, the banks are bust, right?
Yeah.
And there's no way you're going to resurrect them by quantitative easing.
Where did the money go?
Well, the money's gone into the pockets of the bankers.
Exactly. It's like gambling in your own casino.
And their friends.
You can't lose.
The other thing is, the big international drug cartels have also got their liquid assets in many of our major banks. And because the way the system works, our crazy system of competition, the banks that will take the drug money have done really well. So the other banks that wouldn't, I've had to go along with that whole business. So ultimately, let the banks go bust. The government can then buy those banks for nothing, right? They're insolvent. So the government can take those over. The Treasury can run our economy and run our banking system as a utility, a public utility, like in the old days they used to do the water, this kind of thing.
So you think that's what they're going to
do? To serve the public rather than to serve these super rich. Well, I think they're going
to
have to do that.
I
think if they want a solution, and the problem, of course, is that the euro crisis is being strung out by the ESFS because those directors, the people involved with that, every day they string it out, they're making more and more money because they're lending to Spain and Greece at one interest rate, but they're taking back that money at a higher interest rate. So the longer they can string this crisis out, the more wealth they're sucking out of Greece, the more wealth they're sucking out of Spain.
What they're going to be doing with that money is fuel for another conversation, I think, because we can all speculate about what they're going to be doing
with all
that money. But that'll have to happen next time you come to see us.
Well, hopefully by next time, the Murdochs will have been arrested. We've had quite a lot of the arrests, but not the Murdochs themselves, and that their whole entire media empire will have been requisitioned and given to Julian Assange.
Oh, we can but help. we can but hope.
There's the eyes of love for you, anyway. The whole business with Assange is fascinating, isn't it? I mean, I do say that it's a lot of that I think he is the most important radical publisher there's been in the Western world last 50, 60, 70 years.
And he's gone into hiding, hasn't he?
And he's on the run in London, basically, inside the Ecuadorian
embassy. Oh, you're right, he's not on the run. He's in the Ecuadorian embassy.
Well,
he's on the run, really, because he's broken
his bail conditions, right, allegedly.
Yeah. But we know where he is.
And the crazy thing is, right, last night on Newsnight, this is how much you can't trust what the BBC says, I'm afraid. And on Newsnight last night, Tim Huell, the reporter, said twice that Julian Assange is facing charges in Sweden, right? Julian Assange is not facing charges in Sweden. He is wanted for questioning, right? And the crazy thing about these European arrest warrants, which I think are actually almost fascist in their mentality, is that even if somebody says that they want to question you, you can be arrested in a foreign country and brought to that other country. Basically, it's an end to European sovereignty. Ultimately, I mean, there's some very good people campaigning against this. For example, William Dartmouth is doing a fantastic job, actually. He's a former Tory campaigning against these European arrest warrants. But it, why on earth can't the Swedish authorities, he's accused, potentially anyway, accused of rape, why can't they come to interview him in London? They can go to the Ecuadorian embassy.
Why not? He's been on bail for months now.
But the thing is, what bothers me is when the BBC are actually reporting it inaccurately, this starts to look like, well, they don't like Assange around, you know, because he's leaking stuff. And actually, he is one of the, you know, I think he's done an amazing job in getting a lot of really important information out to the
but
public.
Why do you think he doesn't want to go to Sweden for fear of extradition to the United States? Why Sweden? Why couldn't the U.S.
They have an extradition treaty with the Swedes, which is actually means...
What, and the British don't?
With the U.S. Sorry, the U.S. have an extradition treaty with the Swedes. But the thing is, the reason I think that they want to take him to Sweden is they want to con him into thinking that the Swedes want him, when really it's the Americans. And once he's in Sweden,
he's going to get on a plane and he's going to end up in Guantanamo Bay.
Well, Guantanamo Bay is no joke, is it? You know, we've still got British citizens in there, you know. So that is what he's fearing. And I think, and is it amazing, isn't it, that we're living in an age where to get justice, you've got to hide in the Ecuadorian embassy. I mean,
well, to be fair, it's only Latin America that is still flying the flag of democratic.
Well, there is a bit, certainly. I mean, Peru is not, but, you know, there are some countries like Venezuela, etc., where there is a bit of real democracy. And, of course, there's a spirit in South America. I've travelled around South America quite a bit in the past, and it is this kind of liberation theology feeling, you know, like, hang on a minute, guys. We know the big bugbears of the world, and we're not letting the United States run. This is America. This is America. South America
Yes. South America and North America, there is definitely...
If you talk about America in South America as the U.S., then you really get a hard time, because they're saying, hang on, guys, we are the soul of America.
No. Well, nevertheless, South America is South America, and North America is North America. And then you got Mexico and Central America in between.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of trouble from the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, post-World War II. Lots of nasty stuff been going on over there. So, ultimately, if you want my prediction about what's going to happen with Assange, I think he will be somehow whisked away out of Britain. And he will get justice. And, of course, this is really pointing out, ultimately, that in Britain it's very difficult, if not impossible, to get real justice, particularly in publishing. And this is what he's doing, is he's saying, hang on a minute, guys, our media isn't telling us the truth, and the BBC and ITN don't like it.
Right. Well, thank you, Tony Gosling. Will we be seeing you next week?
Not next week, but the week after, I hope.
Okay, lovely.
Thanks very much for inviting me, Linda. Thanks a lot.
Oh, it's been good.
And if people want to hear, I do have a program on BCFM.
Go ahead and plug it.
93.2 between 5 and 7 Fridays on drive time slot. This week we've got one of the Labour councillors on for an hour, and we'll also be talking, we've got a bit of a scoop this week about someone who's managed to get themselves undercover training to be a security guard for the London Olympics, and he's found out some pretty incredible stuff, I can tell you. That's after 6.
Interesting. We'll see
you
then.
Thank you very much, Linda. See you in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Keep on moving with Ujima 98 FM.